with Henry Sikorski of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. We've been discussing allies of the United States seeking either nuclear power plants that have the credible predicate of constructing nuclear weapons, or allies of the United States that have lots of nuclear power plants and at this point are not creating nuclear weapons but have the potential at the same time to be involved in nuclear weapon technology under the umbrella of new alliances. Now we turn to the whole matter of what was seen in 1945 after the one and only, well, two and only use of the nuclear weapon in anger in Japan. Henry, the question of proliferation is the charge of the IAEA, the watchdog, which we have learned over these many weeks is not really up to speed on getting access in Ukraine or assuring anybody that it has clarity about its own mission. That has been true for years in Iran, and we can anticipate the IAEA was not the answer that was hoped in 1945. My question to you is, and we're keen on this movie Oppenheimer that's very popular right now, to revisit the question one more time. In 1945, there was a vision among nuclear weapons scientists, engineers, that the world could be made safe from nuclear weapons with international agreements. Is that ambition now shelved, or is that still available to many of the best thinking people on the planet? We have a couple of minutes.
I think the reality is that even the people who wanted international control of atomic energy in a very rigorous way, where plants that are now in national hands would only be owned by international authorities, that there'd be total nuclear weapons disarmament and inspectors everywhere. That ship hasn't just sailed, it's sunk. And it's sunk because they couldn't get it established before the Russians exploded their weapon in 1949. And so it was shelved. And then the thought was, well, if we share the good atom, the peaceful atom, the power reactor and research atom, maybe we can constrain the use of fissile materials by doubling down on these peaceful applications such that no one will get a very large stockpile. It'll all be tied up in peaceful uses. And then we'll create an international bank, and the IAEA will be created, and it'll inspect. The people in 1945 warned that that would not work. They said that if you allow countries to get significant nuclear civil capabilities that include dangerous activities like reprocessing, enrichment, and certain kinds of reactors, and only have inspections, it not only won't work, it'll accelerate the spread of nuclear weapons capabilities, and it'll end in a veil of tears. It could be that they're right, and that's the trajectory that we're on. And so here we go.
The question then is, going forward, this proliferation story that we're seeing hints of right now, is this the story that we're going to see for these next years, new and different people asking for nuclear power plants, knowing that that is a predicate, theoretical predicate to a bomb? We have a minute.
Yeah, I think that between sort of the hawkish enthusiasm for nuclear power, which is it's energy security, you don't rely on natural gas if you've got this, and the let's save the planet crowd, you know, we need this to make sure that we don't get underwater with global warming, there's immense diplomatic cover to just simply use acquisition of nuclear civil capabilities to also develop a weapons option. And as we forget that problem for fear of losing the bubble on the other two objectives I've just raised, we could get ourselves into a real troublesome patch.
Henry Sikorski, the Executive Director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.